Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. Lord, we ask for wisdom. Father, help us do your will and bring glory to you. Lord, give us the words to speak. Help us to apply them to our heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wish to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just start right out here with turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Then verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. These are all salutations, greetings, parts of greetings that Paul was given to the churches. We see that in all of these churches and these different places where he talked to people, the theme of what he was saying was that you would be worthy of God. That you would be worthy of the kingdom of God. That's something that people don't like to talk about today, is being worthy of something. Everyone tells us that we cannot be worthy, that God is so high and so lofty and so far above us that we are just disdained in His sight because we have chosen to sin. And so therefore we have become so vile and corrupt that we can no longer even do anything that God would be pleased with. But Paul tells us that we are to walk worthy of God, to have value to God, to be worth something to God. That's a choice that you and I make. This is something that the Bible talks about a lot. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." You and I can be worthy of Christ or not worthy of Christ. The choice is ours. We're either worthy of being called a child of God, or we're not worthy of being a child of God. Whenever you talk about that word, are you worthy to be a Christian? Well, the false humility automatically says, no, I'm not worthy. But God says you can be. Now, I'm not saying you go around bragging that you're worthy. That's the thought that everyone has, that you're just bragging that you're worthy. I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about what you are. Being worthy of God. We are going to stand before God and we're going to either be worthy of His kingdom or we're not going to be. We're either going to belong there and be a part of it, like here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." To walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. What is required of man is to walk humbly with his God and to do justly and to do what's right. Whenever Jesus was here and he told about the parables of the talents and the wine, the vineyard that he set up, and several different things, he gave man what his responsibilities. He gave man what was set before him to do. And then the Bible says he went away to a far country. Some of these people took what God had given and were afraid of it. And they went and hid it. They got scared. They didn't move. They didn't take care of what he gave them. The Bible calls that person a wicked servant because he knew what God had wanted him to do and he didn't do it. God has given you your life. He has given you instruction on how to live your life. He has given you a conscience. He has given you the power to carry out your life, the power of your own will. Because of what Christ did, He set us free so that we could have that power to do what we need to do. And now He's just let you have it right there. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You can get all fearful about it and think if you start on that way, you'll fall. And if you get scared about how hard it might be, and so you never move, you just stay right there. That's being fearful. That's not even going. That's not doing anything. Or you can just take what He's given you and put it into practice. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So many people today, we've talked about the synthetic fruit. So many people today are trying to produce a fruit instead of just being faithful and walking. So many people today are trying to figure everything out instead of walking. We either walk or we don't walk. We can walk or we can try to analyze what we're supposed to do. Or we can just walk and be what God wants us to be. We're trying to spiritualize everything. We're trying to get to where I feel like I'm a Christian. To where I feel super spiritual. We try to work ourselves up into some kind of nice, calm, peaceful, spiritual experience. And whenever we don't have that, we get all worried. We get all excited. Oh, I'm losing it. I don't have what I used to have. That is not having faith in God. That is having faith in the way you feel. That is having faith in your experiences. Having faith in God is just being a man or a woman like God created you to be. And it's just that simple. We think we don't feel secure. We don't feel like we're saved, maybe. And so we try to bend our theology to where we gain some assurance. We try to look for this peace. We try to look for all of this stuff. And then you see someone just doing, and they're just almost oblivious of even seeking for those things. They just do what's set right before them. We have the parable, or the judgment day, when Jesus told that He'd bring everyone before Him. And there will be some that will be divided as sheep and goats are divided, some on the right and some on the left. And those that were divided on the left said, "Lord, when did we not do? When did we see what? Why are we set apart here? When did we see You? When didn't we see You?" And He said, "Because what was set right in front of you, you didn't do it." And the other said, "When did we do all of these things?" They were oblivious to worried about whether they were saved or not. They just saw a need and did it right in front of them. They lived the Christian life. They lived. They carried out the things. There wasn't an anxiousness to do those things or to worry about doing them or worry about getting stuck if I do them. They just did them. When we walk in the light as He is in the light, you don't have to understand everything. You just take the step that's right in front of you and you do it. And you keep walking that way. So often that light is right there and we don't understand it, so we try to figure it out. Or we try to worry about what might happen. Or we try to look into where that light may be leading us. Instead of just walking. That's all He wants us to do, is walk in the light that you have. That light is real. When you just walk in it, you'll have to decide every step you take whether you're going to take another one or not. But you got to keep taking them. That's how you stay out of the rut of just being monotonous and just going through the motions of Christian life. Whenever you keep walking in that light, you have to keep making real live decisions every day whether you're going to walk in that light again or not. That's what keeps it just from being the old dead ritual. Because you have to make that decision. If the church is telling you everything or somebody else is making those decisions for you, you'll get in a rut. But when you have to wake up every morning and decide, if this is going to get done, I'm going to have to be the one that's going to do it. Sure, it may get monotonous doing the same old thing every day. But if you don't do it and you worry about getting stuck in a rut, it won't get done. You still have to do it. Walk is a verb. To walk with God. To walk in the light. To walk worthy of the vocation that we're called. You don't take three steps every time you walk. You take one step at a time. I don't know if some of you haven't heard this. I've said it quite a bit. A lot of times we get to looking at the future, or we get to worried about, this is too hard for me. I can't do it. I get fearful. Whenever children go to school, if the first grade teacher or the kindergarten teacher said, put down a big, huge math problem, put down algebra in front of them, and that child would get scared to death because he didn't even know what those marks on that paper were all about. God doesn't ask you to do algebra. God is trying to teach you 1 + 1 = 2. Whenever a child, He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. And if He wants you to do that, He'll train you how to do it. He'll lead you into it and show you how to do it. When a child does what's set in front of him, you know, you take the little child, whenever they first get to school, they're scared to death. They don't know what they're going to learn. And someone hands a paper in front of them that's got an apple on it. And they give them a red crayon. And there's a big black A by that apple. And that child colors that apple red and the leaves green and says, A is for apple. The teacher puts a gold star on their paper. They were perfect for that day. They walked worthy for the lesson that they were given that day. That child could begin sitting there looking at that A and looking at that with his crayons there and think, I'm going to have to learn how to spell encyclopedia. And get all worried about it. I don't know how to spell encyclopedia. I don't even know any letters. How am I going to ever learn this? And they get all flustered and they get all messed up. And oh, I wish it was recess and I didn't have to do this. And they sit there with their crayon laying on the paper and they don't even color their apple. They're a failure. All they had to do was color that apple red. And that's all God asks you to do for the day. And your lesson for the day is no harder than coloring that apple red. Because as you progress and take a step and you walk with God, you start out going A, next day B. How am I going to learn the whole alphabet? There's no way, 26 letters all at once? There is no way I can do that. But if you learn A today and B tomorrow, in a matter of a couple of weeks, you'll have it all learned. But we get so worried about what's going to happen, or how I'm supposed to walk, or how I'm going to do this, or how am I going to figure all that out, instead of just walking with God. Walk with Him. We're worried about walking with Him, and I just picture this idea. You hear so many of these songs and these evangelicals and these spiritualist Christians that come to church and they get all excited about the worship service and they stand and they praise and worship and just get all into this ecstasy. And they think, I'm walking with God. You got this idea of a person walking out through in a mountain just with his arm held up there, holding hands with God, just having sweet fellowship. That's our idea of walking with God, but that's not God's idea of walking with Him. God says, here's another step. Are you going to take it or not? And when you take it, you're walking with Him. If you analyze it, you're not walking with Him. If you don't take it, you're not walking with Him. If you run away from it, you're not walking with Him. The only way you're walking with Him is when you walk with Him. And you take that step. Our Master has given you what He wants you to do today. So many people want to run when they don't even know how to walk. It's amazing to me. Everybody knows everything. You start talking about Bible topics, Bible subjects, they can just tell you all about it. But when it gets right down to walking, they don't. And they can't. But they can talk all about it. And they can tell about it. What is some of the things God wants you to do? I really appreciated the young men this morning with their lessons. You know, throw this in, headed that way. These rappers, you know what I'm talking about, these people that make rhymes. They're little rhymers. They think they're really smart because they can make a little rhyme. On the street, there's these men walking around and all they come up to you and they won't even carry on a conversation. They just start rapping. They tell all this little rhyme in front of you. And everything they do, they just make a rhyme out of it. And they think they're so cute, making all these different rhymes. Rap music is what it is. That's all it is. It's just somebody just uttering all of his mind and putting it to a little tune that rhymes. Everything that pops in their head, they put a little tune to it and make a rhyme out of it. There was this man, he was just talking 90 miles an hour and rapping and telling us. And there was a man that came up, for some reason, he respected. And I do appreciate that about him. But he just started really going on and telling this. And this man looked at him and he said, what do you think? And he asked the older man, and the older man said, a fool uttereth all his mind. And it just, it hit him. He heard it, and I appreciate it, and I don't think he's been back since. But he heard what he said. And I appreciate about these lessons that, or this verses that these boys learned this morning. You want to walk with God? Listen. Keep your mouth shut and listen. there's wisdom. One of the verses said that the explanation was that whenever the older people are talking, you watch and you listen and you learn. I appreciate whenever I see young men, instead of trying to teach me something, that they just sit and listen. I just like to be around the old men, even the old worldly men, if they're not so foolish. But I like to listen to tell about things. You know, this world, I think once they get old, they're not worth listening to anymore. They're not up with it. And sometimes, some of the stuff, they might not even make a lot of sense. But then when they do say something, you can learn some things from them. Young men, you can learn some things when you don't know everything. The one quote in Sarah Ryan gave, you don't ask too many questions even. You just learn. You don't have to figure everything out in life. You just walk. And you do what you're supposed to do. Whenever whenever you are worthy of being listened to, then you'll have something to say. If you're just talking, just to be heard, that's just foolishness. You earn the respect of people by the way you walk. And one of these days, young men, instead of just being telling everything you know, if you'll keep your mouth shut and just walk and be faithful and do, somebody might come up and say, "What do you think about this?" And then is when your opinion matters. You're not just flapping your jaws. Women, here's a little bit of direction for when to give advice to your husband. Are you ready for it? When he asked for it. That's the perfect time. When he asked for it. And whenever he learns that he can trust you because you're being meek and quiet and wise. And when he learns that he can trust you, if he's got any sense at all, he will ask you. When he knows he can trust you. But until then, you wait until he trusts you. You walk worthy of him asking you for advice. Talked to a lady this week. It's all stirred up about a problem. She's gotten a hold of a Bible, began trying to put into practice the teachings and being faithful. Her husband was a terrible man. She started going to churches, and started reading the Bible, seeing how to act, that she needed to be forgiving, meek, and quiet. Her husband was into pornography, drunkard, chasing other women. And everywhere she went, the churches and the people told her, you need to get rid of him. Look how he's treating you. But she saw that she needed to be meek and quiet and forgiving. And so she did. And her husband started getting interested in what the Bible had to say. And he started wanting to be a part of the Bible studies. And wanted to start. He quit doing all of those things that he had been doing that she'd so desperately wanted him to quit doing. She started doing her part. And he started listening. Well, she started going further and further, and she got into other and meeting other people. And they told her she needed to be doing certain things. She needed to make some real decisions in her family. And so she began to get all anxious about it and get all upset about it and get all worried about it. And the peace started crumbling in the home. What's she going to do about this situation? What's she going to do? And the husband kind of drifted away. And getting further and starting drinking again. And she asked me, why is this happening? She said, I'm getting worried. We live in a big house. Jesus said to live, be poor. And I asked her, what is your responsibility in your home? You are to be meek, quiet, submissive. If your husband provides way more than you need, what's your responsibility? To be meek, quiet, and submissive. If he doesn't provide enough for you, what's your responsibility? To be meek, quiet, and submissive. She said, well, wait a minute. My husband's a police officer. Is that right or wrong? Can a Christian do that? And I said, no. Oh, no. What is your responsibility? To be meek, quiet, and submissive. Whenever you get all anxious about trying to change him, Look which direction he's headed. He's going back to drinking. Because you're out of your place. Every time she brought something up, I had the same answer. So after about 3 or 4 times, I said, now what was your responsibility? I get it. Well, what am I going to do about this big situation that's causing problems? I said, you do what you're supposed to do. And if he starts studying the Bible, he'll start getting concerned about these things that you're concerned about. But only if you do what? You're meek, quiet, submissive. I told her, I said, I don't care whether your husband's a Jehovah's Witness and you have to go to a Jehovah's Witness church. Do you know what your place in that home is? Meek, quiet, and submissive. God is not going to judge you women for what your husband does. You are going to be judged by how you respond. How you walk worthy of the calling that He's called you to. It's not your place to change Him. You be a servant. That's all God wants from any of us. We don't have to have all of the theology figured out. God is looking for men who will just be rock solid disciples of Christ. Not someone that's always up on a mountain. And then sometimes they're off in a valley. God is looking for a rock. One of the most, I don't know, I guess it's one of the encouragements that I've received from people before, or the most, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but an old man one time, even whenever I was a Methodist. The old man knew what I stood for and knew how I lived. And he came up and told me, he said, "You're a rock. You're a rock." That was a blessing to me. I just have found a lot of encouragement in that. That I was just doing what I knew I needed to be doing. I didn't understand everything I should have then, that I've learned since then. But whatsoever my hand found to do, I want to do it with all my might. You want to be worthy of God? You want to be worthy of the high calling? You want Christ to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Do what you're supposed to do. Be in the place you're supposed to be. And one day, someone will recognize that and say, "Hey, come up here. Come to a higher seat." If you try to put yourself there yourself, you're probably going to get knocked down a notch or two. And you need it. Be wise. Learn. Respect your elders. That's just, I don't have a problem with young people saying "yes sir," or "no ma'am." Just pure old respect for someone a little older. I still appreciate the time we were in Mexico, way back in the villages, and Zenome. We were sitting there talking, and some of the men were there talking, and one of the children came running through in between the men. And Zenome stopped him and just told him, "You do not go through adults when they're talking. You go around them." Just a common respect for their elders. That's fading fast. But there's a few little villages way back in that everybody thinks is a bunch of hillbillies or a bunch of derelicts back there that don't know nothing, still have what's most important. And we think we're going to go teach them something. That's neat when you think you're going to go teach somebody something and you sit back there and then you begin to learn a few things. That's what we all need more of. We all can learn a few things. God used a donkey one time to teach Balaam a few things. All God wants you to do is walk worthy of Him. We have a big banner to carry. We have a huge task ahead of us. There's a lot to do in this life. And we do it one step at a time, being worthy in the little thing that He set before you. And when you walk in that, He might give you a yellow and black crayon and you get to paint a bee tomorrow. But if you can't even paint an apple today, you'll spend your whole life worried about college and you won't even get through second day of kindergarten. Just take these little things. You just be today. You're not promised tomorrow. Take no thought for it. You be what you need to be today. Love your enemies. Love your neighbors. Be faithful. Be loyal. Be respectful. Be kind. Be affectionate one toward another. You examine your life. Is that how I would want to be treated? Do I make a mess and expect somebody else to come along and clean up after me? Do I stay just a little? Do I have to get out of there just as quick as I can because I don't want to be late and make somebody else have to stay a little bit later? Be respectful. You learn a few of those things when you're young. You'll be amazed at what kind of fruit it produces. The kingdom of heaven, those who are worthy of the kingdom of heaven will belong there. The kingdom of heaven will have people in it that doesn't make someone else stay late because they're all right there doing what they're supposed to do and they get off on time and they get off together because they're the kinds that stay with it because that's what needs done. They don't expect others to take up the slack. They're right there. That's what makes working together so beautiful. Many hands doing what they're supposed to makes heavy work light. But when we begin to be slackers, and let somebody else take care of it, oh yeah, they'll do it. But when it comes time to be in the kingdom, you won't be there. Because that isn't going to be there. Just in everyday life. Being a man and a woman that God created you to be. Jesus Christ came into this earth not to show everybody that He was God. He came as the first. He came as the second Adam, it says. You know what that means? It means He lived out the life that God wanted Adam to live whenever He put him here. Isn't that simple? Jesus was the second Adam, the one that didn't listen to Satan and just lived out His life. That's what perfection is. It's not some high pinnacle up there that's unobtainable. He just was Adam. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was just Adam. And God said He was pleased with His Son. That's all He wants us to be. Just walk worthy of your God. Every moment, every day. Just walk worthy of Him. That's all that He requires. Tomorrow He may put a big task in front of you. But it's because you did a little task right today. Put one foot in front of the other and walk worthy of God. When you get a little older, or you keep being faithful, somebody might just come up and say, "What's your opinion about this?" That's when you're getting somewhere. If you're volunteering it all the time, or questioning everything everybody else is doing instead of just watching, they'll probably never ask your opinion. And the reason is it probably ain't worth much. The Lord had His blessings. Help us to apply these things. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us to be faithful to You, to bring glory and honor to Your holy name. Help us walk worthy of our Lord, following His faithful example together. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Speaking of Adam, it made me think of the man who was with us who repented and he wanted to change his name from Adam to something different. Thomas, and it never changing his name. And after a while, he just went, "Oh, it's like the world." This he asked.
He's second Adam. Adam number two. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Think about what you guys might become, the soldiers you could be.
Amen. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll be back at 6. Is it 6 or 6:30? Okay. All right. Anyone else have any announcement or anything you need?
You could start thinking about meeting at parks again.
Okay.
It'd be kind of nice to have that place.
Now, if it's your turn for Maine, if you want to have it somewhere else, there's all kinds of places. All right. Well, God bless you.